afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Thursday, January 19th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
One more day till the big day. Big day tomorrow.
Really?
Everybody's
is it
all
April
excited.
1st again?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
You're just really planning.
I'm worried about April 1st.
You're
setting yourself
up.
I have become paranoid about April 1st. And anytime you start talking about a big day, I start wondering, is this April Fool's Day again?
That really has you bothered, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, because I'm not going to have any excuse. I'm not going to say anything on the April 1st program. I don't know what day of the week that is, but if April 1st falls on a day we do the radio program, I'm not going to say a word. You understand? You can do any little stunt you want, and I don't care. You can scream the house is on fire. I'm not calling 911.
So you don't think
nothing on April 1st. No reactions.
So you don't think I'll be able to get you, huh?
I'm afraid maybe you will be able to get me. That's what bothers me about this. I'm going to have all my defenses up, and still I am concerned I'm going to be fooled.
Well, there was no fooling gold today. A lot of pressure on gold this morning. And, you know, it's, you know, came back, hit a 1207. It's 1205 right now, 1205 in the New York spot price after market, up, you know, a couple cents. But it clawed its way a couple times. It was, 1195 for the low, and it was there most of the day. So to have it come back late, actually, it really started to come back after the spot market closed at 1:30. So silver was down 4 cents today, for 1708. Platinum was down $6 at 960. Palladium was up 4 at 755. I do believe the U.S. dollar was a little weaker today, 0.17 at 101.14. Crude oil was up a few cents, 32 at 51.40. And you have the paper markets. Excuse me, folks. Paper markets, the Dow was down 72 points, 19,732. The NASDAQ was down 15, 5,540. The S&P was down 8 at 2,263. 10-year yield, boy, that climbed 2.46%, up 0.04. And, of course, the euro was stronger at 107. And I wanted to see, I don't know if I can bring this up, I just saw the headline where both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac plunged on Mnuchin's comments as he's being screened for the Secretary Treasury, Treasury Secretary. And I was just, he just said that he does not support the so-called recap and release of mortgage buying giants of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. He seems to be a... Anyway, whatever he said about that, as the article goes on.
What do you think the impact will be on housing, on the price of homes?
I think as we see higher interest rates, you're certainly going to see the prices of homes decline.
I'd say it has people, to be if Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are to some degree impaired, mm-hmm. and they're not going to be able to back up mortgages. That just means mortgages, price of mortgages is going to go up. And fewer homes are going to be sold, or at least if they are, they're going to have to be sold at lower prices.
But and yesterday, I believe Janet Yellen came out in her speech in San Francisco, indicated that they're going to take 3 more rate hikes for the year of 2017. That kind of goes against Mr. Trump saying that he wants to keep these rates lower. That they need to be lower, and they do need to be lower for him to do what he wants to do. So doesn't help him with higher rates. So we'll just see. I don't think Janet Yellen can raise them. Even if she wanted to, I don't think she can. But we'll see. And, you know, perhaps Mr. Trump is betting on that also. There's no way that she can. And so we'll see how this how the plays out for the rest
of the year. I think what's going to happen here is everybody, I'm going to guess that people in the Federal Reserve and people in the Trump White House agree that we may be on the verge of some sort of a collapse this year. And I don't think anybody wants to take responsibility for it. Right? And if I'm correct about that, that means that people like Janet Yellen are going to sit there and probably do nothing. Rather than run the risk of raising interest rates another 0.25%, maybe one more after that, and even a third after that, the Federal Reserve could wind up being blamed for whatever might be coming toward us. And you know, regardless of what we do, maybe we're going to have a difficult time regardless of what we do, but the question is, who's going to get blamed? Is Trump going to get blamed? Is Obama going to get blamed? Or is the Federal Reserve going to be blamed?
Well, certainly Trump will be blamed, but I mean, there's always been this discussion that she has to raise rates, so when we go into the next recession, depression, she'll have some room to lower them.
It's just the next one?
Yeah.
When we go into the next one?
When we go into the next one.
We're already in the next one.
I get
that. We've been
in
the next one since 2008, whether they're admitting it or not.
We've been in the next one since 1987. Well, we've been in a recession since then. But that was always the, you know, oh, she has to raise rates to, if there's any problem, she can lower them to, you know, to help stem any collapse of, and of course, all they care about is the Wall Street, the stock markets. They, you know, they'll do anything possible to keep that a little bit, you know, as strong as they can. There was the Prime Minister of England, Theresa May, she's holding talks with guess who? Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, JP Morgan, asset managers of BlackRock to discuss plans for leaving the European Union. They were meeting this week at the World Economic Forum in Davos. Of course, they've been there all week, gathered there. But she said yesterday she confirmed Britain's exit from the single market, but also used her speech to try to assure business that there would be no cliff edge, and that the UK would seek the best possible access to the European Union. And, of course, you know, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, J.P. Morgan. It's just
no
a lot of
in the water.
A lot of the same, you know, different day, you know, same actors, same play, different day. There was also another report. You know who Joseph Stiglitz is, Alfred.
He's Mrs. renowned. Mrs. Stiglitz's son, Joseph.
Joseph Stiglitz, professor. He spoke, an economist. He spoke Wednesday at Davos. And he said that the current situation for many countries in the European Union has been labeled bleak, as they remain in huge debts and they cannot find a way out. He said in a meeting titled Fixing Europe's Disunion, the euro was not created against a backdrop of institutions which could support it. And he says it is failing. He says in Europe they have got things working in many ways better, but Europe as a whole, particularly since the global financial crisis, the eurozone in particular, has been near stagnation. He thinks that the euro is part of the reason that the eurozone is not doing well, and it is only part of the reason, but it is part of the reason. When you have a single currency, it doesn't have the flexibility for to enable weaker countries like Greece, Italy, Spain to adjust, and the result of that is a real, real problem. Depressions, deep recessions, where GDP today in Greece is more than 20% below what it was before the crisis. It's worse than the Great Depression in almost all of these countries. That will shape the reactions to politicians and to the European Union. And he goes on and insists there was a lack of understanding among these member states when they signed up to the euro. Kind of sounds like Obama pushing Obamacare. There was a lack of understanding, and they did not realize
failure to communicate.
And they did not realize they would be given an economic sovereignty to some degree. And he says they feel, in some sense, betrayed by the leaders. I think the thing that irritates me the most when you hear these people talk anymore, it's how they have placed these economists, these not financial planners, but you know, the Goldman Sachs, even some of these financial commentators. I mean, they're just nothing but a commentator, but they have placed themselves above, and they don't speak to you anymore. They speak. It's like, oh, the people. Like,
they talk about the people rather than to the people. Is that what you're trying to
say?
Well,
it's something similar to that. But they're talking to us like little peons, like we're the little slaves, and all of their
just
decisions.
Wait till we get our torches and our pitchforks,
you know,
then you'll
all
be sorry.
All their decisions, and you know, they're the ones who rule the world, and you know, we're just the unhappy little people right now. And it's the arrogance. It's the way they're presenting themselves, and I noticed it even when you're watching just like Fox News or something. It's like, well, who in the heck do these people think they are? But my whole point with Stiglitz is, you know, a world-renowned economist, and he says the European Union, he says some people feel they are losers of globalization. There are growing inequalities, and this isn't all new stuff. We talk about this every day in the program. My question is, if he thinks the Eurozone is in trouble, what the heck do you think about the United States? Because you could say, if you took out the Europe from his little comments, it would sound, you could fit it right here to what is happening here in the United States.
Well, you know,
and
when he talks...
I just want to say this one more thing. This guy, who is he from? They're proud of what they've done. They hate this populism. They hate this stuff. And they are very proud of their globalization efforts.
Yep.
So, that's just...
Well, when he talks about the problem they have with all of the countries in the Eurozone operating with the euro, the problem may be that that Europe was better off without the central planners controlling especially the currency, but other aspects also, or at least influencing other aspects also. Maybe that central planning is the fundamental problem. You know, if you have a dozen or 20 countries, and each one has its own currency, and they're all cheek and jowl, they're all close by. If they tend to keep each other in line, if one country gets completely stupid with its currency, the rest of the countries, that stupidity will be shown up in comparison to the other nations in Europe. And the net result is, on average, they might have a stronger... They each of their currencies might be on average stronger than what they're getting out of the euro. When you have central planning and you have these geniuses from Davos who are doing what they think should be done because they have a theory, if they mess up, it's not as easy to see and it's not as obvious, and they can continue to say what we really need to do is even more. Even we had one plan and we tried that. What we need is more of that plan, and then it'll work. The central planning itself might not serve people as well as a series of nations having their own independent currencies, and then you get a chance. You get to look at them, right? Is this guy doing something stupid? It'll show up, especially if they were using an asset-based currency rather than a debt-based currency. But if whatever is going on in terms of comparison between the United States and the European Union and other nations around the world, again, I'm going to guess that the common denominator is fiat currency. We are approaching the end of fiat currency, or we're approaching a point where the irrationality can't be concealed. And as we get there, what are we going to do, Melody?
You tell us, Al.
Well, the whole idea behind the fiat currency is that we could use a debt-based instrument, which is nothing but a promise to pay.
Right.
That's what debts are. They're promises. I promise to repay. Here, you lend me $1,000, and I promise to pay. You've got a debt instrument, my signature. That's a promise to pay. That's all it is. We are using promises as if they could replace and supplant assets, which are a real payment. Right? Give me some gold. I got $1,000 in gold. Okay, I've been paid. I got $1,000 in paper. I haven't really been paid. I've only received an IOU, nothing but a promise. And the promise doesn't have to be sustained by, there are no limits to the promises. This is where we have the governments going deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. Why? Because people take their promises. Oh, we promise to pay. Government, our government promises to pay $20 trillion minimum that we have in the national debt. We have nothing to back this up but promises. As opposed to if the government said, yes, we have $20 trillion in debt, and we also have $50 trillion in gold, and we're going to give you $20 trillion of our gold to pay on the debt, that would be significant. We would have an asset-based monetary system, which is rational. You don't promise to pay, you pay. Right now, we're just getting by with promises to pay. It has to blow up sooner or later. I don't believe this can be held together. This is an irrational concept. And the whole idea that you could take promises to pay and use that instead of payments, tangible asset-based payments, I think it's a fundamental, just act of irrational thought. And it took decades for this irrationality to catch up with us, but I think it's catching up now. So we'll watch and see. But if I'm right, you don't want paper. You don't want digital. You want tangible. You want assets, real payments, not promises to pay, right? And if you do, then you will be equipped to perhaps weather the storm that's approaching. If you don't, you're going to find out that your pieces of paper and your digits are substantially devalued.
I don't think a lot of folks realize how they will be impacted. And you don't have to have a complete collapse of the system for folks to lose their purchasing power. You don't have to have, the dollar reserve replaced by another currency before you lose a large percentage of your purchasing power. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, and I think people don't realize how much they're losing today and every day. If you don't have your currency, your money that you have in your investment accounts and in the savings accounts and so forth, not protected by gold, you're losing. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people understand that.
No, they don't.
I don't think they understand how, again, you don't have to and everybody focuses on these big events that are going to happen. Folks, you're losing every day. Yeah. Every day you're losing your purchasing power.
We'll say more about what people, talk a little bit more about public ignorance when we return. We're going to be taking a couple commercials for Financial Survival, and Melody and I will be back in a moment. We'll talk a little more about public ignorance. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Now, folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What is next, Melody?
We're carrying through the special from yesterday, $733 for an American 1/4 ounce gold coin and 20 American silver eagles. The new date, 2017. It includes all your shipping costs, $733. I priced this out at a regular cost. This would cost you $25 more if I wasn't running this special today and yesterday and probably tomorrow. So it's a terrific savings considering there's only a few pennies made in the silver section of this special. And in the 1/4 ounce gold eagles, you're basically getting it at wholesale. So we did sell many of them. And I think I have about 6 or 7 of those packages left. So at this special price. Call us, 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And folks, this is how you preserve your purchasing power. And a lot of these folks out there, these analysts that send you, you know, I sign up for them. I like to see what my competitors are doing and so forth. I get tons of emails from these guys, and all they're trying to sell you is paper. And they tell you to get 10%, 5% of your portfolio in gold, physical gold, and they sell you paper for the rest of it. That is not enough. So make sure you're balanced properly. And I'd be more than happy to help anyone, but you have to call us at 1-800-375-4188. Alfred.
Yes, sir. I was going to talk a little about ignorance. I was going to pontificate on ignorance and the general ignorance of the American public. Ignorance is simply a lack of education. It doesn't mean people are stupid, but for example, correct, I am ignorant about Swahili. Right? I don't know anything about Swahili other than it's some sort of a language from Africa. I don't speak it. I don't read it, write it, and rest. I'm ignorant about it. That's a fact. Doesn't mean I'm stupid. There are other things that might support that contention, but not my ignorance about Swahili. People are ignorant when it comes to gold. They don't understand when it comes to money. The average person, the only thing they understand about money is how to count it. They understand that a 5 is better than a 1, and a 10 is better than a 5, and a 20 is better than a 10, and so on. We understand how to count it. We understand about the magnitude of currency. We do not understand the difference between money and currency. That you try to explain that to people, and they will look at you. Most of them will try. They'll cock their heads to the side, and their eyes go kind of blank, and I'm reminded of the RCA Victor dog. I don't know how many people remember that, but it used to be part of the RCA Victor logo back in the day. They had the old gramophone, and the dog was listening to his master's voice, and he couldn't tell if it was, you know, the master, or if it was, the gramophone. People are ignorant. They don't get it, but here's an example. This is from the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, and the headline is, "Free Candy Bar More Appealing to Californians Than a Free Gold Coin." And this is, and I've seen the video on this, where writer and provocateur Mark Dice once again took to the sunny streets of Ensenada, California, just north of San Diego, to reconfirm the ignorance of Americans, or Californians anyway, about the monetary metals, as he offered passerbys the choice between a free tenth of an ounce gold coin or a free Snickers candy bar. I've seen this thing before. He's done this. This isn't the first time he's done this. He's done it in the past. I think he was using a Hershey bar the last time. And he, well, would you rather have a tenth of an ounce gold coin or would you rather have the Hershey bar? Well, everybody, virtually everyone took the Hershey bar. Right? The article here, it goes on, it says, if the three-minute video Dice has posted at YouTube about his experiment is representative, he couldn't give away the gold coin and even sometimes had a hard time giving away the candy. At least one fellow accosted by Dice recognized that a social experiment of sort was in progress, though he couldn't quite figure it out. I mean, something's going on here. They're offering me a gold coin or a candy bar. And what could this? I know this is a test. I went to college. I understand these things, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You know?
We were always Al told not to accept candy from strangers.
Well, I get that. I understand that, but nobody told you not to accept gold from strangers,
I
suppose.
Probably think it's not real.
But the point is, people should snap up that gold coin without bang. It should be an automatic. It shouldn't even be, there should be no hesitancy. All right? And yet, there are people that they're not taking a free tenth of an ounce gold coin and they would rather have a Snickers bar. Well, as long as that level of ignorance remains in some elements of the body politic in this country, we're going to have problems. That ignorance has been exploited, has been taken advantage of. People in positions of power who should know better should have been warning the American people, but they can't. We have a fiat monetary system. You can't tell everybody this is a crock. This is a crock. It's going to blow up in everybody's face. You better watch out. You can't have people in positions of power posting that warning to the American people. And therefore, we muddle through. We think that our green piece is a paper. We think we're paying our bills with them. We're not. We're just discharging our debt. There's a difference. And it doesn't. It's the sort of thing that I'm not going to try to explain right now. But we don't pay our bills, right? We discharge them, we pass them on, but they pile up and they pile up and they pile up like an avalanche. And sooner or later, it all comes tumbling down. And it happens every time they use fiat currencies. I've seen one report. We'd mentioned it from time to time. One guy calculated that there were something like 275 separate instances in human history where governments had tried to impose a fiat currency. And every one of them blew up, with the exception of the ones that are running right now and have been going for the dollar, for example. Into it 40, 50 years, we've had fiat currency in this country, and euro and blah, blah, blah. We'd be dumb. I won't say we'd be dumb, but we'd be ignorant, right? And we need, if you want to understand what's happening here, you really have to make an effort to look at the currency that you have in your wallet and your bank account, and you have to think about it. You have to start to see, what is this stuff? It is so taken for granted. It is as invisible to us as oxygen, and yet it's just as important. You don't have enough oxygen, you're going to die. You don't have real money, you're going to have a big problem. It may not be apparent right now. You can't see it. People just, you know, just snicker and roll their eyes and know everything's under control. No, it's not. No, it's not. And when it breaks loose, the people are going to wish to God that they had taken that tenth of an ounce gold coin instead of the Snickers bar. And they will learn, in the context of serious financial problems, we will be forced to learn the difference between asset-based money and debt-based currency. And we'll begin to say, wait a second, I don't want your debt instruments. I want to get paid. I don't want a promise to pay. I want to get paid. Don't give me a debt instrument, a promise to pay. Give me a payment. Give me gold. Give me silver. Give me something tangible. So, blah, blah, blah. The world is, and astonishing. You know, we sit here and laugh. You know, you can laugh about the people who took the candy bar instead of the gold, the tenth of an ounce gold. But the truth of the matter is we are phenomenally ignorant about money. Baron Rothschild made the comment, he was 1800s, maybe 1700s, I don't recall exactly when it was made. But he says, I don't care who makes the laws as long as I can control the issuance of money. Now, the average person say, you got to be crazy. Of course it's important to make laws. No, it's not. What's important is the issuance of money. Rothschild understood money, and that's how he rose from obscurity to be one of the wealthiest men the world had ever seen. He understood it. Didn't just count it. Didn't just stack it up in piles and stuff it in his mattress. He understood the concept of money. He was not ignorant, and he wound up fabulously wealthy. And, you know, we're going to recommend to people that you do what you can to overcome your own ignorance, my ignorance. I'm not going to say Melody's ignorant about this, but I'm going to admit that I am. And most people are. And it's vital to your survival and mine that we try to figure this out and do the right thing and try to protect ourselves. If the nation won't protect itself, then the people who prefer candy bars to 10,000 gold coins are going to pay a very serious price. And I can't do anything about that. It would be nice if we could save everyone. We can't. Because I don't know how to overcome the ignorance that is predominant. But we can at least be helpful in trying to overcome whatever ignorance may be. They exist in our audience. We can get a few people. We can get a few people and say, look, here's what's happening in our opinion. Here's what I think's happening. You could save yourself, maybe. Got yourself some gold, got yourself some silver, yada, yada. What else, Melody? What's next?
I came across this. There's always a question, and there's been a lot of discussions about hacking this year into computers. The Identity Theft Research Center logged more than 1,000 breaches. The number of incidents increased 40% last year from 20 to 15. U.S. companies, government agencies, it was a record 1,093 data breaches last year. And that's, again, a 40% increase from 2015. I mean, some of the victims have been Wendy's, Hamburger Place, all the way to the Democratic National Committee. And there's a lot of money. Worldwide spending on security-related hardware, software, and services rose to $73 billion in 2016 from $68 billion a year earlier. The number expected to approach $90 billion in 2018. You know, it kind of makes you wonder exactly with all this hacking going on and all the breaching of these computers and the more and more money being spent on cybersecurity, you wonder who is actually doing the hacking. Probably a lot of the cybersecurity companies. We can do this and we can get a lot of billions of dollars coming in to help these companies, stop this. But, those are some fairly huge numbers.
And growing all the time. Evidence of is for the moment at least, the people in charge of banks and databases and one thing or another, they are not able to keep up with the hackers. The hackers apparently, for now at least, they are better able to evolve. You throw on a new program to protect your computer, to protect your database, whatever, the hackers will adjust to it faster than you can bring another iteration of security. The hackers are evolving faster than the
And I think what's
detectives.
Important, too, it's just not, I don't eat burgers from Wendy and, I'm a Republican, so I don't have to worry about the DNC. But there's a lot of these breaches that are undiscovered and underreported.
Yeah.
And it's just not those places. Data breaches in 2016 exposed everything from social security numbers to user account login names and passwords.
Yeah.
And this is those attacks that is known as phishing. So it does become more personal and it does affect each and every one of us. So you just have to be careful out there. And again, the rule of thumb is you don't open up anything from someone you don't know who it is. And particularly any links, you don't go to links and so forth. I always limit my various websites. I could probably count on my hand on how many different websites I go to. I just don't do a lot of, you know, if I'm searching for something, I'm careful where I go when I, you know, while I'm searching for it. So, and again, these criminals use this information, it's just, you know, like your social security number, addresses, and names to fill out false tax returns, credit cards, and also they can get into your bank accounts.
And that's the holy grail. How much money can you get? And then from a thieves' perspective, this hacking is nirvana. You can sit back and say, well, I'm going to break into the First National Bank. I'm going to tunnel in tonight at midnight when the bank is closed? I'm going to sit here right at my desk and my computer, and I'm going to work at this a little today, a little tomorrow. I'll get to it. And sometime the next week or two or a month, I will break into the First National Bank and steal a bunch of digital currency. Well, we watch CSI on TV, and it tells us how the criminals always leave clues. They leave hairs. They leave fibers. They leave some clue or another that the CSI people can find when they commit a crime, they rob a bank, commit a murder, whatever. There's always trace evidence. It's not necessarily true that there's trace evidence, at least not trace evidence that's easily found and followed back to whoever's responsible. It's not there in the digital world. It is sometimes, but a lot of these guys, if they're smart enough, they get the money, they get away, they don't even have to leave home. I mean, they probably do. They're maybe going, they might be executing their theft from some public hotspot where they can plug in their computer and perhaps maintain some level of anonymity. I'm not sure. I don't know how it goes. But still, it becomes, I mean, you don't even have, you don't need any partners. You can have them, fellow hackers, if you want to, but you can do it all by yourself. This is an irresistible temptation, and apparently it doesn't take an astonishing level of intellect to accomplish these thefts. And I know what it means. I mean, there are going to be teenagers out there that are fooling around. Hey, let's rob the First National Bank tonight. What do you say? Yeah. Hey, sounds like fun. Maybe we could get a couple $1,000. Maybe we could get a couple of million. All it is a couple of zeros. It has to be easy to rob these institutions if they are easily accessible. They have customers out here in the public who are able to normally access the bank, for example, with their cell phone or with their computers. If they make it easily accessible for people to get to the bank or the credit card company or whatever, if it's easily accessible for the customers, it's easily accessible for the hackers. I doubt that they can set up an effective security system that will prevent hackers, that also isn't so inconvenient that they can't get any customers. They're caught between the rock and the hard place on this. And what's the lesson? The lesson is that the digital wealth stored in digital form is not hard to take and to steal, and therefore a lot of people are going to steal. You don't want your wealth stolen. It's not a bad idea to put it into a tangible form that can't be removed by somebody else's computer. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercials. Be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. There's an article we're talking about the difficulty, the problems of trying to protect data and protect digital currency in this brave new world we're stumbling into. And here's something along that line. This is from Cointelegraph, and they routinely talk about Bitcoin and other digital currencies. And the headline is, Yahoo likens OneCoin and Bitcoin, cites Warren Buffett calling Bitcoin a mirage. Now, this makes a very good point, all right? That I had this Bitcoin, most of you have probably seen that the prices of Bitcoin, I mean, they've exploded over the last few years. You could get Bitcoin for, I don't know, maybe it started out at $10 a coin or dollar coin. I don't know what they were originally, but they're now up 900. They've been up over $1,000 a coin. It's been a fabulous investment for people who got in early, but it's still confusing. It's all digital. It involves this blockchain technology, and you look at it, and I am certainly ignorant about it, and most of you are probably ignorant about it, but you're a little bit fascinated, and I'm wondering, should I jump in and get this new digital money? Well, the article is telling us it's not money, right? And I understood that already. I mean, it's not gold. It's not silver. It's not tangible, but it's not even like currency. And here's the article. It says, in 2014, Warren Buffett described Bitcoin's price rally as an illusion, calling the digital currency a mirage on CNBC's Squawk Box. At that time, the price of Bitcoin plunged from over $1,000 to $200, mostly because of the Chinese government's declaration of Bitcoin as a virtual good. All right? It's like getting virtual corn or virtual currency. That's what digital currency is. It's a virtual currency, but it's virtual. It seems to be there, but it's not really there. Buffett further suggested that Bitcoin will not be able to gain intrinsic value over time as a currency. That's right. It won't have intrinsic value. He instead explained that Bitcoin is only effective as a money transmission method, and that it doesn't have an actual real-world value. Dan Gilbert of the Quicken Loans founder supported the claim of Buffett, stating, it's a method of transmitting money. Now, I disagree with that. I'd say it's a method of transmitting currency. But what it amounts to is I take $500 at my end, and I convert it into Bitcoin, and I send it to Melody, and she receives the Bitcoin, and then she converts that into $500 currency at her end. But we didn't exactly, the Bitcoin is not the money. It's not the currency. It is the means of transmitting the currency. And they went on, they said a check is similar in that it's also a way of transmitting currency. Are checks worth a whole lot of money because they can transmit currency? Are money orders? You can transmit currency by money orders. People do it. I hope Bitcoin becomes a better way of doing it, but you can replicate it a bunch of different ways, and it will be replicated. The idea that it has some huge intrinsic value is just a joke in my view, and again, this is from Dan Gilbert, the Quicken Loans founder. I think it's helpful to recognize that Bitcoin and the rest of these digital currencies, they are essentially a means of transmitting some measure of wealth, but they're not the wealth itself. They are the means of transmission, and that's not a full understanding of Bitcoin. In some regards, there is an evolving marketplace where you can actually, if you get Bitcoins, you have these digital coins, there's people who will, they'll send you stuff. You can buy things over the internet. You can buy things, and I think some cab companies will take Bitcoin as payment for a ride in the cab. It's beginning to resemble currency more so than it has in the past as these markets evolve, but still the fundamental idea is that Bitcoin is a way of transmitting wealth from one place to another. It's not the wealth itself. It's the means of transmission. It's like checks. It's like money orders. But it's not the wealth. I find that helpful. I find it interesting. I hope you did too, Melody. Did you find that helpful and interesting?
Yes,
Al. Has it dissuaded you from going out and investing, selling all your gold and buying Bitcoin?
No. Because I think it's interesting. I think a lot of people would get caught up into it, thinking that they have, you know, some sort of the digital currency is the way to go. And, you know, I think maybe your millennials and so forth that are brought into this world and they live every day in technology and so forth. They probably love it and think it's great and so forth. But they don't understand, again, what real money is. I wouldn't do anything online, whether it's Bitcoin, whether it's buying gold and silver, whether it's, you know, transferring any type of funds or wealth or anything online. You know, I might buy a T-shirt online, but it makes me nervous when I have to give my credit card. So, again, I mean, we just talked about how easy it is for these computers to be hacked, and I don't think there's anything that's safe or secure online. And you're really opening up you may as well just give them your bank account number.
There is a risk involved with all the convenience of being able to buy things by means of credit card, debit card, over the internet. Very convenient, great, wonderful. With all that convenience also provides additional risk. You have additional convenience, fine, great to be convenient, but convenience is also equivalent to additional risk. This is really handy. I don't have to hardly do anything, just type in a couple of numbers and I can get the T-shirt, buy the T-shirt. Yeah, that's very convenient, but it's also risky. If you don't want the risk, you have to deal in a way that is less convenient. Right? But you'll have less risk.
I understand that Bitcoin is also the way the dark web makes payments, because it's not you can't track it. And so again, there's a criminal element to it on the dark web. So a lot of your that's how they pay you on the dark web.
Tracked, and that's one of the things about allegedly about Bitcoin with the blockchain technology. You can track it all the way back to the very first person who ever had a particular unit of Bitcoin. It goes to the next person, and there's a record of that.
I'm talking about the dark web. I'm not talking about the regular
web. But it's the same thing.
But I don't think on the dark web it can be tracked because of the way they...
I think you can track all of it.
I don't think so.
Ordinary.
I mean, that's what the whole dark web is. Everything is is not traceable.
Trying to save power, Melody. They keep it dark there. They don't have the lights on. They don't have.
No, you have to have an understanding of what the dark web is.
I understand it, is it's just a part of the web. We get Google, for example, and we type something into Google, a search engine, and it will deliver hundreds or thousands or whom God knows how many hits you can get that refer to a particular subject, a particular person, whatever. You just type it into Google and bang. But people assume that Google has analyzed the entire web, and they haven't. There's a whole bunch of the web that is they call it dark because it hasn't been picked up by the Google search engine yet, or the other search engines. They're not following it, and you got to know where you're going, apparently, the way I understand it, which is superficial, but you have to know where you're going. You want to go to someplace on the dark web, you're not going to be able to plug it into Google to find it. You're going to have to find it on your own.
No,
you
there is
know,
a certain...
I'm going to Cafe Olay on the dark web. Type in the right one, you get there.
Well, no. Yeah, I mean, you do have to have, there is a certain entry that you do go into, as you mentioned, but, you know, it's, you just don't Google it. And it's a little bit deeper and darker than just what Google and a search engine is.
Yeah, I agree.
But and it's a lot more criminal.
That's my understanding and my understanding.
The whole point, but the whole point is you can't be tracked.
Well, you can't be tracked easily unless,
I mean... I would understand. It was like no one, and that's why you have such a criminal element in the dark web. And we probably shouldn't even be talking about it because neither one of us know
the
actual details of the dark web. So, my understanding is,
why don't you do a special? We could do a special, and I might. And you could have a special, and you can either get a Snickers bar or you can get a tenth of an ounce of gold, Melody. And I will take the Snickers bar. How about that?
All right.
I'll be one of the people who takes the Snickers bar on the special.
All right.
Here's something that's interesting. This is interesting. This is a revolutionary, this is a kind of revolutionary report. And it's from the Associated Press. And it's the headline is New Silk Road. First China, London freight train arrives. The first direct freight train service from China to Britain arrived in London Wednesday, another leg in Beijing's plans for closer trade ties with Europe along a modern-day Silk Road. The 18-day trip saw dozens of containers packed mainly with clothes and household goods transported from the city of Yiwu in eastern China to a freight terminal embarking in East London via Kazakhstan, Russia, Belarus, Poland, and Western Europe. The train entered Britain from France, blah, 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 7,500-mile trip, new middle ground between shipping and air freight. It's quicker than sending goods by sea and cheaper than transporting by air. They've built a railroad all the way from China that ultimately goes as far as London. This is extraordinary. This is combining, they used to talk about the Oriental Express. Murder on the Orient Express. It was an extraordinary thing to travel in a railroad car from Europe to Turkey. Orient Express. Now we're traveling, it's possible to travel all the way from China to Europe by rail. And the political and technological and social implications, the world is becoming a smaller and smaller place. People are tied together. And this is just one of the ways where lines begin to blur. Cultures and economic zones expand and become diluted, homogenized. So we have a railroad track that runs all the way from China to London. It's not yet significant. Analysts say the service is not yet economically significant because the volume that can be transported is small compared to using container ships. Economically, its significance is still quite small, but politically, it's very significant because China wants to show it is connecting directly with Europe. The European Union is China's largest trading partner. See, this is one of those things where China building a railroad all the way from China to Europe is to some degree trying to steal whatever customers the United States has in Europe. This is a deal of saying, well, we're closer to Europe than you are. We got a railroad connecting us. And we are separated from Europe by an ocean. So, I don't know. It's just, it's another one of those events that you look at in the world right now and say, holy cow. This is really fantastic in some regards. This is just something that it's as revolutionary as the Panama Canal, in my opinion. All of a sudden, there's a way of moving things without such enormous cutting the distance, cutting the time, cutting costs. Pretty amazing. So we live in interesting times, Melody.
Yes. Yes, we do. We certainly do. And I just wanted to clarify something. The dark web is the encrypted network that exists between servers and clients. The deep web is what you were talking about, where it's just a, you know, web services that can't be indexed by conventional search engines. So there are two separate.
Two that we know about.
Well, there's many more, but it's the one that you were talking about. And the dark web is, you know, basically for criminals, and they use Bitcoin, and you can't be traced. What you were talking about is just another search engine, and yes, you can be traced. So there is a difference.
Well, I don't think I can be traced, Melody.
So you should pay a little more attention. No one knows where I am, Melody. It's a mystery. You should pay a little bit more of attention.
No, that just confuses people.
Anyway, 1-800-375-4188. We got that great special going. A quarter ounce American Gold Eagle, along with 20 of the 1 ounce Silver Eagles, and they are the new date, 2017, $733. It's a great savings off the regular price. You're looking about the same package, about $25. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
Mm-hmm. Now you have about 25 seconds left, Melody.
Well, we have a lot of other products here, too. You know, we do have the, I haven't talked about $20 gold pieces in a while. I'll try to bring a special tomorrow. They're a great value at this time. Premiums are low. All premiums on gold and silver are low. Everyone is absorbed in with the election and the inauguration tomorrow. Hope you're all safe. And we'll be back tomorrow. Right.
Thanks for listening, folks. Melody and I will, good Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll tune in then. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer.
Bye bye.
Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.